Are you doing it or am I doing it?
Oh. I thought you were going to do it.
Right, I got it.
Okay.
We Like Dota is brought to you with the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Yield Raven, Ninja Skelts, Samson Magnuson, RX Cowbell, Surreal, CBX, Mr. Fancy Pants, Bean Dob, Monster, Icebug, Spenguin, Titus Andromedon, Dank, Zynison, Billy Couch Jeff, Paul Turner, Jeff Peterson, Digital Nick, Edge, Javier Lato Play, and Wisp. If you'd like your name on the list of patrons, head over to WeLikeDota.com and follow the links to our Patreon. We Like Dota, episode 274, starts now. Welcome, everyone, to We Like Dota. This is your host, Jim. I am joined by frequent host, but not this week, evidently, Sam.
I'm sick, Jim. Carry me. Carry me, please. Hello. Gotcha.
I'll see what I can do. How are you sick?
Just got a little head cold here, you know? Just a little post-nasal drip. And I was hoping it would make my voice deeper and more radio-friendly, but it hasn't really done any of that. So, here we are.
Oh, yeah, you need that sexy cold voice. I remember when Greg had that, like, horrible, I don't know what it was, illness for a while. He sounded like Barry White.
Boy, do I.
That's good stuff. It doesn't work for me either.
No.
I always hope.
So, I don't have an introduction here.
All right. Yeah. I'm still recovering. We had a sleepover last night with two of my daughter's friends.
So, what's your move there? Because obviously they stay up super late, right?
Yeah.
So, like, do you just let it happen or what's the move?
Yeah, essentially. Like, but, and we were strategic about it because this was an impromptu play date.
Okay.
Because yesterday morning, I coached the younger one in basketball. It was her very first nice. Day.
Oh, first time.
Yeah. She was all nervous. It was really adorable. I'm like, it's rec ball. It's fun. Everyone's having fun.
Yeah.
Then my older one had a game for her club team. She scored the first basket for her team, and I believe it may have also been the last basket. But
very good.
Yeah. And then half the team came over, and we went to play basketball in the park by us because it was 70 degrees yesterday.
Yes, it was warm in Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So the kids were just playing basketball the whole time. The coach came over and played like with the the like guys who were playing. There's three basketball courts by us. Two were full of 5v5 games. It was awesome. And then they like ran around and played football, and they were doing all this stuff, playing in the backyard. And then, you know, they said, oh, can we have a sleepover? We want to keep playing. Can we have a sleepover? And my wife's like, yeah, they're going to fall asleep really early today. And they did, like, relatively. Like, we put them in front of a movie. They watched Jumanji with The Rock.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, which apparently had, like, some inappropriate jokes and stuff in it, but they weren't that bad. And it's like, you know, it's a sleepover.
It's a sleepover.
And they fell asleep around, like, 12:30, which is, you know, it's late, but it like, once we were like, okay, you have to brush your teeth, they were just out.
So. Yeah. I mean, well. At least they weren't watching, like, Big Mouth.
Yeah, right.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad that they continued sportsing all day long. couldn't get enough sports.
Yeah, this one girl who's on the team, like, she was chasing a loose ball, and she just, like, ran headlong into this other player on the other team, and like she ended up like flying through the air, and she had like an ice pack on her knee, and she's like, no, I want to, like, can I go back out? And the coach is like, your knee is purple. And then she was like playing football and playing basketball. It was great, and it was just such a nice day, and everyone had a great time.
Yeah, it was also a great weather, great January weather in Pittsburgh, 70 degrees.
Yeah.
We traditionally have a pickup soccer game like every weekend, and we had like 30 people come out. It was wild.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, well, let's get into the Dota feelings, because I didn't feel as good about Dota as I did about other sports.
What happened?
Oh, look at it go! Oh yeah!
Oh, what happened? So basically, here's how I feel about Dota right now. It's not that I'm not having any fun. I have some fun.
Like, some.
I played a game with Uranium Nick, Arian, and Epi, and we lost the game in literally 20 minutes.
Oof.
And we were like, are we sure it's not a turbo? Like, what is happening? And honestly, I had a lot of fun playing with them, because it was just so ridiculous. Like, the reason that I say that I feel like the way that I felt when I first started Dota, when I would play the game, I'd load up, I'd start losing, and I'd be like, why? Why am I losing? What am I doing wrong? What is happening? What are all these things going on? And for a while there with Dota, I felt like, even though I was never good at the game, I could at least have a sense of, okay, here's what went wrong, or here's what I did well, or here's where we kind of screwed up. And that would at least, you know, make some sense of the chaos.
Right.
Now, I have no clue, just no idea what happens at any point. Like, when I was playing with that game with Epi and everybody, like, me and Nick won our lane. Like, we did pretty well, and he was in the safe lane. Like, we were in the safe lane. So that's, like, an important lane, one would think. Yeah. And, no, it just didn't matter, like, in any way. And I just can't, like, wrap my little mind around how the game has changed in these, like, kind of subtle, but maybe not so subtle ways. Subtle to me, because I can't really identify them.
Right.
I don't know. How have you felt about this meta so far? How's your Dota been?
You know, this is really interesting you bring this up. Like, I've heard a lot of people with that kind of description of it. Like, they're just, like, not getting it, or, like, mm-hmm. things just aren't working anymore.
Right.
And, like, I don't know if this means, like, I'm next level or I'm several levels behind, but, like, I don't really notice the difference. Like, I think I'm starting to understand the idea of, like, getting more map control and controlling the what are they called?
Outposts. Yeah. Outhouses. Outhouses are way better. That's what they should be called.
Yeah, shout out to Titus Andromedon for that one. You started calling them outhouses the other night. Like, and so, like, I feel like that's working, but But then, you know, like last week, I described I'm playing Doom again, and he's supposedly, like, the best hero.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I'm doing well, but I'm winning the games. So it's kind of like, it's like the opposite. It's like, I don't understand why things are happening the way they are, because I don't feel good, but it ends up winning.
Huh.
So it's like yours, like, oh, we won our lane, and then, like, I don't know what happened. I'm like, I feel like I'm not doing well, but I don't know what happened.
I don't know if it's just that, like, neither of us play enough, so it's just, like, small sample size. Like,
yeah, probably, you know, right?
Eventually I just walk my way into some winning, and you kind of slide into some losing, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, or maybe you're just next level.
Maybe. Also, like, heroes I like are good.
Okay.
Like, I like Doom.
Sure.
And Doom's, like, tops. I like Rubik. Rubik's been doing really well, at least in professional play lately.
Yes.
Like the hero, like Underlord is just ridiculous. Like I just feel like the heroes that I like to pick anyway
yeah.
have high win rates. So that might be why it feels better for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rubik for you always sparks joy. That's important.
Yeah. It's, oh my God. Can I tell you about a game I played?
Please.
Oh, so we played Theme Thursday. They were super fun. They were like just complete blowouts the first two games, but we all had a good time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we were just goofing off. And then the third game, I picked Techies and Greg picked Sniper. And we were on opposite teams and it went like forever. But it was, I mean, I had fun. I was playing Techies. And then we all stacked for a pub afterwards. And so I pick Rubik because we played with Camouflage, who is in our Discord and played Theme Thursday for the first time.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hello, Camouflage. He was very fun to play with. He picked Underlord, and I'm like, oh, I'll do Rubik. I was probably going to pick Rubik anyway. But, like, Underlord Rubik is like just like a vicious lane. Like, because you just can't last hit because you have no damage.
Yeah, and also, I guess Rubik and Underlord can, like, really effectively nuke the wave, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can just, like, shove it right in if you have to.
Yeah.
And I picked up pretty early on that I think he was better than the other two people that we were against in lane.
Okay.
So I just left him, and we did, like, end up in, like, a try-v-try on the bottom, which is, like, always fun and just chaotic and nonsense.
Very nice.
And then, so what I love to do is kill people with their abilities. Like, I killed a Spirit Breaker with his ult from my own fountain. And I'm like, okay, this game was a success. Like, meanwhile, they're fountain farming us at, like, 22 minutes. But, like, not did it. And so, I got, like, Eye of the Storm a couple times from Razor.
Ooh.
I got, like, the Razor Circle. A bunch. I had Pudge ult, because Pudge ult's like super easy to steal because it's channeled.
Yeah,
never got hook. The guy was pretty good about like rotting immediately after throwing the hook. And then there was a troll warlord on the other team, and at one point I stole his ult. I was like, oh god, I have to use this, when can I use this? And then I don't know, like Baelic was playing Bane mid, who was just like in random parts of the map killing people. And we ended up, like, not fighting while I had troll ult. So it's like 2 seconds away from expiring. I just, like, use it on a neutral camp. Like, Rubik turns green and, like, attacks really fast. And then later on, we're, like, taking their base. And I think I was, like, throwing out, like, Razor Circles and all the stuff. And I think they were getting irritated. I had a quest I might have planted some wards in front of their fountain just to fulfill the quest. But they were, like, beelining me, right? And I'm, like, running away, like, past my team. And the troll, I had pulled his ult, like, a couple seconds before. And I'm like, oh, okay, I gotta get this guy. So I, like, pull him back, like, off of the tier 3, like down into the low ground. So I have him, like, isolated. And then I use his ult on myself. I had ag, so I could use it on other people. And I killed a troll warlord using troll warlord ult.
That is the dream.
It's super easy to steal because it's, again, it's like channeled. Like, you can't do anything for the next 7 seconds. Right. So, you're like, if you hear it, you just hit R. But, like, I swear to God, I spent, like, more of my mental energy, like, isolating him so I could kill him with that than I've ever spent to actually try to win a Dota game.
This is all very on brand.
Oh, it was so good. And, like, I squealed like a little kid, and I was clapping. I was doing, like, at my desk at midnight, like, hoping I don't wake up my kids. And I instantly hit print screen to screenshot. It's all about me. And we won that game, so I was happy.
It's very good. So I'm good. Proud of you.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, man, Rubik. He just, like, sparks joy, whatever you're doing.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's move on. Let's get on with the news here.
Sounds good.
To read the future, I need entrails.
The news is news. We have a minor going on.
Hey now. Very nice. We play. Yeah.
Yes, the We Play Bukovel Minor. It's at, which is at a ski resort in Ukraine.
Yeah, looks nice there.
Yeah, it looks really nice. I don't know if I'm into like these guys sitting on a stool and then you get like the shot is of their whole body. Like I think everyone looks awkward sitting on a stool.
It's not great for the posture. Yeah, so the large shot that you need to get like all three panelists is like somewhat mitigated by a random fence that they've installed.
Yeah, it is a fence, you're right.
So they're in like a manger is what I would describe it. But most of the panelists are wearing sweaters, like Christmas sweaters, which I know is meant to be cozy, and I think other people find it cozy, and that's great. It just looks hot to me. they tend on a little sweaty. At least that's how I feel when I wear those types of things. But I will say, I've been watching a bit of this.
Awesome.
And I really like that there's this little We Play companion in the Twitch thing.
Oh, you tell me all about this, because this is one of these things where like I log into the stream and I instantly turn it off. I have no idea what it does.
Well, it's just a little overlay that comes on if you like mouse over the stream. And it just has information that you can access. Of course, now as I go to do it, it's not working right now. But it can give you like the schedule. It can give you like the previous matches and how they turned out, like the various results, the standings. It's like all the stuff that I would normally have to go to like Liquipedia for.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
And it's simple, it's clean, it's easy to understand, and it actually has like the right time, so like you know when the next game is going to be. Yeah, so I really like it. I think it's a really nice addition.
Awesome. Yeah, I just immediately disconnect it and then then open up Liquipedia. So I guess I don't have to.
No,
that's cool. That information's like always been so needed, but
yeah, I'd give it a try. I think it's worth, you know, worth a go.
For the literally the last match or two.
Yeah. It's fine. So yeah, have you been watching any takeaways from?
Takeaways, I don't know. I don't know if I've watched it that closely to see like to like get a feeling for what's going on.
Sure.
It's good Dota. I mean, these are good teams. I'm happy about Geek Fam. They have a bunch of players that were like big SEA stars on other teams, like Raven. I always like Raven. And then I think they're the only one who, I don't know, Nigma took a game off of Royal Never Give Up. Who are my betting, like, boys?
Betting boys?
Yeah, like, it's like for that DPC app, which I'm the only person who uses it anymore.
Yeah. So bucky.
Yeah. It's just like max bets on Royal Never Give Up every game.
Easy money.
Yeah. I've made like one or two relics worth of Dota Plus points in the year I've been betting on Royal Never Give Up.
It's better than no relics.
Yeah, it's true. True.
Right now, as we're talking here, your boys RNG are in the grand final.
Yeah.
And they will play the winner of Geek Fam and Nigma.
Yeah. What's with Nigma? Have you seen them play at all?
Yeah, a little bit. What do I think about them? I don't know. I mean, they're fine.
It's just weird because like for like years they were one of the elite teams in the world.
Now
they're like, you know,
they're like fine.
Um,
I've watched some of... No, I didn't. I thought I saw their match against Gambit. It was Enigma Gambit, but I didn't actually see that. I don't know. All of these blur together, of course, now.
But, right. I saw, like, Envy beat them at one point.
Oh, with Fighting Pandas.
Yeah.
Enigma won the series there.
Oh, okay. I think that was the one, like, I watched, like, the whole game, and... It was the one that Fighting Pandas won.
Okay.
I was like, whoa, these guys are good, and they lost the others. But
yeah, the tournament has been kind of surprising to me. Like, there's been more Terrorblade than I figured,
and huh.
Like not like a ton, but like sometimes he's played.
Yeah. Right.
Same with Naga, which like doesn't. I just have no feel for where the game is, as I've already stated. So,
yeah.
It's been interesting. But in that series, Fighting Pandas picked Storm in the two games that they lost against Enigma. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I don't know what that says about Storm.
Trash hero.
Trash hero. Team Enigma has been kind of in on this Lina mid. They picked it in all three games against Fighting Pandas and won two of them, so I guess she's kind of like a fast-paced tempo hero, so maybe that makes sense.
Interesting.
I'm not sure. Do you have any Tiny Watch for us?
I got a little bit.
Okay.
It's a fairly small sample size.
Okay.
Because there aren't too many games. There's only 8 teams went to the main event, and that's what I filtered by. Doom is 100% pick ban.
Very nice.
And he just got nerfed. I don't know. Like, I didn't feel like his nerf was that meaningful, but, and then, Rubick and Lich are the two top picked heroes. Lich seems to be doing really well.
Yeah.
It's interesting. They both have, like, 55%+ win rates. And I think Wisp might be back.
Was he ever gone in pro?
like a week until people figured out. Well, no, he was there, and then Anna was like, "What if we did this?"
Right. And
carried a TI with it.
Right.
And then everyone was like, "Oh," and now he's back as his it's proper support self. But he's won 7 of his 8 picks.
See, this goes to my theory that teams just need to be bolder. Try more things.
I agree, dude. I think everyone, you know, has their ideas for like what is figured out. And every like top tier pub match is exactly the same. Like you watch streamers.
Yeah.
But then you watch this and like there's crazy stuff happening. Like you're seeing like Terrorblade get picked. Like
yeah.
Wisp is like quickly Wisp will be like top contested at the major. With or without any changes, like Ember Spirit seems to be back.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Tiny, I mean, Disruptor has like a 44% win rate on a bunch of picks. It's not
yeah, I was
low.
Seeing him get picked up a bunch. Yeah,
Magnus only yeah. has a 33% win rate.
He's at least in the games I've watched, he has been more of like a safe lane carry rather than a mid. I mean, he does go mid too, but I've seen some yeah. in the safe lane as well, which is
yeah.
really interesting. Like, why not just pick Sven?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, it's strange. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yes, I think, I think the meta is like more wide open. I think there were a lot of changes in the patch. The big one that just came down. And I suspect that, like, everyone seems to have agreed on, like, what heroes are best and how to play it so quickly.
Yeah.
I'm a little wary of whether or not it's true. And you're not going to have some team at the major be like, what if we did this? And then it's, like, totally nonsense, but works really well.
Yeah. Any other heroes that were, like, picked a lot? That we want to touch on? I don't know if you have those in front of you.
Omni Knight is
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
And Abaddon, too.
Abaddon never really left, I feel like.
Yeah, he's always been around.
I mean, I think before he was like, he was able to play like position five and just like deny himself with that weird mechanic. But now he's like a off lane core.
Oh, cool.
And just like, yeah, he just got first picked by Team Nygma in this,
oh, really?
In this okay. First game of the best of three. Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's a strong laner, right? So
yeah, like, you can't like bully him.
Yeah, he's to bully. Tough to bully out of lane.
Yeah, Omni Knight too has a high pick and win rate.
Has Tiny been doing well?
No.
Okay.
He's not like 2018 levels, 2019 levels of like futility, but he got picked quite a bit. He's at 45%, which is like within error of like 50, you know?
Sure. That makes sense. Well, do we have any bold predictions here for who will, you know, who will advance and then who will win it all?
Well, I mean, you know, my money is with Royal Never Give Up.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to make a bold prediction and say that Nygma wins.
Nygma will win it all or what?
Yeah, win the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Just because I feel like they should be winning. That's the extent of my analysis. How about you?
Yeah, same here. I'm going to go RNG because they have the hot hand. Why not?
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick Geek Fam to knock out Aaron's boys. Mostly because I really enjoy their logo. It's got a little man with sunglasses on, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, sunglasses and a bow tie.
Yeah, he's very, very dapper.
Yeah. I guess that's a geek in the Philippines.
Sure.
Okay. Learn about other cultures in Dota.
That's right. Very good. All right, let's move on to the next segment here.
You're tougher than Axe Bot.
Come along.
Feeding time.
Have a cookie.
Meepo. More Meepo.
I love you guys. Oh, I love you guys.
This week's Hero of the Week, a highly contested hero in the ongoing Book of Elminor, is Lich. Everyone's favorite support to stick new people on from back when you could just sacrifice and win your lane automatically. He's still the hero everyone sticks their new friends on, even though he's totally different. And since he got their remake, let's redo his position here on the podcast. So he is a ranged intelligence hero, almost always played as a support. Because none of his abilities really scale with damage. And he has very useful skills. So his Q is Frost Blast. It blasts the target enemy unit with damaging frost, dealing area damage, and slowing movement and attack rates for 4 seconds. So you have to target this on someone, but it's AoE around that person. The damage scales from... There's area damage or regular damage. The regular damage only hits the main person, and then the area damage affects the main person and everyone around them. So it scales from 125 to 350 damage, I think. Unless the damage... I don't know.
Someone who sure, plays we're Lich fine.
Like, yeah. Something like that. There's a 30 attack slow and a 30% movement slow that lasts for 4 seconds. And it is on a 7-second cooldown from level 1. Does not scale. His right. W is really good. It is Frost Shield.
Oh, yeah.
It applies a magical frost shield around the target, an ally, reducing damage from attacks. While the shield is active, ice magic will affect nearby enemy units every 1 second sick, dealing minor damage and slowing them. So you cast this on someone and it like pulses out ice magic, evidently, that does a little bit of damage but slows them. So you cast it on like a PA or a Weaver and the PA jumps on someone And then they can't get away from the PA or the Ursa or the Weaver or whatever because they keep getting slowed by the ice magic. And they take less damage so they can dive. And, I mean, it affects towers, I think, too. Like, yep. Mm-hmm. The damage reduction. So it's really very good for diving. The damage reduction scales from 30 to 60%. The move slow scales from 20 to 35%. The damage from each pulse scales from 20 to 50. And the buff lasts for 6 seconds. It is on a 30 scaling down to 15 cooldown. His E is Sinister Gaze. It is a channeled single target ability. It's a stun that stuns the enemy and draws them toward you. They face you and move toward you. It also drains a percentage of their mana. So the duration scales from 1.6 to 2.5. The distance moved, and this is cool, scales from 32% of the difference between the two of you to 50% of the difference between the two of you. Mana drain scales from 10 to 25%. And you can buy an Aghanim Scepter, and it makes it AoE with a radius of 400. So it's like a ranged black hole on an 18-second cooldown. But what's really cool about it is he has a cast range talent at 20. 200 cast range. You get an Aether Lens. You find a telescope and a keen optic. And you can cast this thing from like 1,000 away. And they move 50% of whatever the distance is within that duration. So they go, like, a huge amount of... They're, like, running towards you for 2.5 seconds, which makes it harder probably to combo with other stuff, but it looks funny, and so that's what you do. And it's probably amazing with the Aghanim Scepter, although I've never seen it in a game, because Lich doesn't get any farm. Because everyone puts the position 5 on Lich. And his ultimate, his R, is Chain Frost, the classic Lich ability. It releases an orb of frost that bounces between nearby enemy units up to 10 times, slowing and damaging each time it hits. Each bounce increases the damage for subsequent bounces. So this is, you know, Lich ult. He throws the skull or ball in his hand. There's an immortal where it's a skull. And it bounces between enemies that stay together. So anything that can hold people in place near each other, Lich ult is amazing. Magnus ult plus Lich ult is like just absolute death because it bounces so quickly because it doesn't have to go anywhere because they're at zero distance from each other.
Grimstroke is good too.
Oh, yeah. So Grimstroke and Lich is an amazing combination, although then you have a lineup with Grimstroke and Lich on it.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
So you need, like, stuns and CC from elsewhere. But if you have Grimstroke ult up and you throw Chain Frost at one of those guys, it throws two balls. And the two guys can't leave one another because they're leashed together because of Grimstroke ult. And so the balls just bounce back and forth, boom, 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 between the two guys. Unless they get spread out all over the place.
It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. Yeah, Lich is really good with Grimstroke. And there is a talent, I believe. Yes, at 25, there is Chain Frost Unlimited Bounces, where it doesn't even go away after 10 times. And it will just continue to bounce as long as you could possibly, as long as there are targets. There used to be a strat, I think you can't do it anymore, where you throw a bunch of Unlimited Bounce Chain Frosts. Oh yeah, because Ancients used to not take any magic damage. So you could just throw them on Ancients and stack them up. And then, like, when the enemy would walk past the Ancients, they'd get hit with, like, 15 Chain Frosts. because they would just be sitting there bouncing between the Ancients. But I think they do eventually kill the Ancients. And it's a huge waste of time. And not that good. But his talents are fairly straightforward. At 10, you have either 20 movement speed or 200 health. At 15, you have minus 4 seconds Frost Blast cooldown, which would give you a 4-second slow on a 3-second cooldown with a decent nuke, or plus 120 right-click damage, which is pretty wild. At level 20, you have plus 3 seconds of Frost Shield duration, which makes it a 9-second 60% damage reduction buff with the pulsing ice magic, or 200 cast range, which is actually really long. And of course, it's useful for Sinister Gaze. And then at 25, you have, as I mentioned, Chain Frost Unlimited Bounces, or Frost Shield provides plus 60 HP regen. So if you cast Frost Shield on something, something, spoiler alert, you get plus 60 HP regen, and you can cast it on towers, which I forgot to mention. So it gives damage reduction for the tower and the pulse that can affect creeps, so you can defend towers forever. And then you can heal towers at level 25 if you grab that Frost Shield provides 60 HP regen talent.
Very nice.
Sam, you have been reading his lore.
Yes.
Tell us about Ethrine.
Let me just do one quick clarification. The Frost Blast, we weren't sure if the primary damage...
thank you.
Primary damage and the area damage, they do stack for the target that you... for the hero that you target.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, the lore. So, Ethrine was essentially a frost mage, and he was like a bad Elsa. He used the threat of destructive ice to enslave kingdoms. And so, finally, you know, the people he was enslaving got fed up with that. Some magicians came and they ambushed him, and they had a charmed rope that bound him forever, and they threw some weights onto him, and they dropped him in a pool that was bottomless. They were wrong. It wasn't actually bottomless. He fell for a year and then was snagged on an outcrop. And he was dead, but undecaying, I guess because he had fallen for so long that he didn't decay. I'm not sure what the lore is there, but that's fine.
Yeah, I guess it was very cold water, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't drown. Okay, whatever. so then this geomancer, Anhill, he comes along. And he's like, oh, this pool, this black pool, it's supposedly bottomless, but I'd really like to know for sure. So he sent a plumb line down there, and that, of course, snarled the ropes with Lich. And he hauled them up. Now, this is where we get a little confused. So he brings Lich up, right? And the lore specific, and so, okay, we know that Lich fell for a year, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it says, the descendants of Lich's army were long forgotten by that time. So there was no one to warn against Anhill against imprudence. So I guess what the lore doesn't specifically say is that he rested on the outcrop for, like, years.
Okay, yeah.
But it only says that he fell for years, so I like to think that people are just dumb.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, remember that when that army came through in, like, February? Nah, wait.
Who?
Nah, what are you talking about?
What? All right. So anyway, so Anhill resurrects Lich because he wants to ask him about the pool. And
That's it?
And then Lich eats him. He consumes him, is what it says.
Oh.
So,
That's like a shout out to his old ability.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, they probably
already
didn't change
the name of.
What was it called? Devout? No, that's Doom.
That's Doom. Yeah, Lich gonna have your mana.
Yeah.
Was the classic. I mean, and now he can say that again because Sinister Gaze takes mana.
That's right.
Oh, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
I was worried.
Very cool. So, yeah, Lich is, like you were saying, pretty much exclusively a 5.
Yeah.
I think it would be really great if somebody got bold and decided 120 damage is too much to pass up. Let's build Mask of Madness. But shockingly, it's not a great strat.
Yeah. At what Baelic should do it. Baelic. Why is he doing this?
Yeah, come on, Baelic.
He's too busy spamming Snapfire mid right now, I think.
So I think you just go like normal support items, right?
Yeah.
In pros, I see they sometimes go Tranquil Boots. I always feel like I don't have enough mana when I do that, but...
Yeah, so do I. I used to go Tranquil Boots because you used to be able to eat creeps for your own mana.
Right.
But now you can't.
But now you can suck.
That's true.
So I don't know.
Is that 20... It says 25%. I don't know. How does that work?
Nobody knows.
Yeah. Hey, it doesn't matter.
I think it just sucks current mana.
Okay. So, like, over the course of 2.5 seconds, you get 25% of their mana? Or is it 25% mana per second?
Drains a percentage of the enemy's current mana. So maybe at level 1, it drains 10% of the enemy's... It doesn't give you a rate, really, is what your point is. No. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I need the data.
The data. Come on, Gaiman.
I love, like... Yeah, like, I'm, like, very frustrated by the fact that I don't know this, and yet, like... If I entered a game as Lich, like, I would immediately forget that that's even relevant. I probably wouldn't even remember it drains mana until the end of the game. But right now, it's very important to me.
Very important, very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lich is fun. I think Kuroki is, like, a big comfort hero for Kuroki.
Nice. You know who else it's a comfort hero for?
Ye Olde Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
dude like only plays Lich.
It's very admirable.
Yeah, he just loves it. I hope he won a Battle Cup last night playing Lich all three games.
That is something else.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I've never even participated in a Battle Cup, so.
Oh, it's one quick game against a Smurf, so it's fine.
It is my New Year's resolution, so maybe, oh, yeah. Maybe someday. Very cool. Do we have anything else to add for our friend Lich?
Yeah, I think Lich is like top 10% of heroes in terms of quality of cosmetics.
Oh, great cosmetics. You're right. It was silly of me to... How could I overlook this? I'm sorry.
Please, Sam.
Tell me about
Yeah. He has two immortals, which I don't use.
What?
Because they don't... They don't fit the set I like.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I have them, and they're good. Like, if they did fit the set you like, they're awesome.
Okay.
One is, like, a skull that he's holding in his hand, and it, like, laughs, and it's animated. It looks really good.
Yeah.
The other is, like, these chains around his neck, which changes the spell, but I forget how. But he has, like, this crazy... Like, ultra rare from an old set, from an old chest that has, like, three faces on it and six arms.
Ooh.
It is so cool. The Rites of Vile Convocation.
Very cool.
And it actually works, at least the hands work pretty well with the skull to hold in his hand. He has Ascendance of the Rime Lord, which makes him, which I use, and it kind of makes him look like Sauron from Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, jeez.
He has, like, spikes coming up from his shoulders and his helmet.
Ooh, that's
And
good.
Long white hair, which is neat.
That is
neat. Jiang Shi's Revenge is one of the Chinese-themed sets, and he's got a casket strapped to his back.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
And then even, like, the random ones, like, they all have, like, neat kind of, like, aesthetic identities to them. And I just think he has great sets.
Great sets.
Like, there's no, like, Dragonite is just, like, only... Dragonite has, like, two or three really cool ones, but then he just has, like, a million of, like... I guess probably very early on in the process of Dota 2, like, just really real clunkers. Yeah. Lich has, like, no clunkers. They're all good.
Quality cosmetics.
Yeah.
Cool. Now are we ready?
Yes.
For Noobs Ass Noobs.
Holy shit! If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is, always prepare for war!
Noobs Ask Noobs. Popular podcast host, Baby Bok Choi,
Yes.
She writes, what's the Dota equivalent of look both ways before crossing the street? I think...
We didn't understand this last year. Or last week, rather. It might have been last year. Last week when me and Arian were doing this. But in hindsight, it's just like the simple thing you should always do that's responsible, right? Yes.
That, I think, is... Ward, like, don't go places that you don't have any vision as a support,
especially, yeah.
Which is something I do seemingly all the time. It's just run up blind hills.
Yeah, found them.
Got them, guys. Tank the king.
Yep, they're up here. No, that's a good call. I think similarly, we're both like some kind of subconscious effect of the question having the word look in it.
Yeah.
I think looking at the minimap a lot,
just
to see like if there's any enemies on the map or not, it's a good idea. So then you know that there's no one on the map, and you could be like, there's no one on the map, and then they kill you. But you'll have said that to your teammates, and so you'll look smart.
That's right. That's half the battle.
Yeah.
Baby Octroy also wants to know, what's your guilty pleasure movie? I.e. your go-to movie that you never seem to tire of or would never oppose watching.
I got one.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so my wife's family, they started this thing where every like major party, you come prepared with like, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite album? What's your favorite book? Or whatever. And everyone discusses it, and it's like wholesome and adorable.
That's nice.
Yeah, so we just did movie recently.
Okay.
And I picked The Princess Bride.
Yeah, great choice, great choice.
That is my, like, it's not as much a guilty pleasure as much as, like, it's a simple pleasure. It's a comfort movie.
Yes.
Like, if I feel sick, like, I had some norovirus a couple years ago. And I was like, I do not want to even move from this couch.
No.
But I'm going to put that on, and I'm just going to feel better.
Yeah. Totally.
Even if I don't actually feel better, I'm just going to, like, go into, you know, Gilder and the other one.
100%. And,
yeah.
Also, that whole movie is framed as a story that, you know, the grandfather is telling a sick child. So it's fitting that, you know, you're sick. You
want it worked. Yeah. Congratulations, writer and director.
Yeah, it's really good. For me, it's, and this will come as a shock to no one, the original Fast and the Furious, I'm ready to ride anytime. Yeah. Anytime anybody wants to, I am in.
Nice.
I love Paul Walker. I love the dated references to the net. I love all of it. I'm there for it. So that's my answer.
All right. So I listened to this one podcast intermittently, another one that might be worth listening to, but they watch movies and they talk about how they hate them.
Okay.
But they don't end up not really hating them, but it's funny. So they're picking up on a Fast and Furious soon.
Uh-huh.
I have never seen a Fast and Furious.
Okay.
Which one should I watch, Sam?
The first one, of course. The first one is like, it's really small stakes. The plot revolves around an undercover cop who's investigating stolen DVD players.
Oh my god, I love that.
I think it's really, really,
my kids would be like, what is that?
Yeah, they're like, what, who, what are those?
Yeah, like that movie is like, it could be The Untouchables. Like, I don't even know, like, why can't they have whiskey? I don't even understand.
Have you seen Point Break?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same plot, except instead of surfers, it's car racers. So like, okay, Patrick Swayze, that character is Vin Diesel.
Ah.
And
it's Paul Walker, Keanu Reeves.
Paul Walker is Keanu Reeves, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Point Break's another one I could watch at any moment, at any time. Patrick Swayze is amazing. Keanu Reeves, incredible. Essentially the same movie. It's great. I have a type.
Nah. I think those are very good guilty pleasures. I think that hit
Feel no guilt.
Oh, right. Yeah, but that's, yeah.
No, there is some guilt depending on the company that I'm keeping.
Yeah, stand in your truth, Sam.
That's true. Good. All right, Elihu. A new neutral item is added entitled Aaron's Cape with the following lore. Scoured from a corpse of a traveler along the road to the Wailing Mountains, this cape imbues the wearer with both a blessing and a curse. Perhaps the curse is why the item was left to begin with. What does this item do? We haven't done this one before, have we?
No, but the issue with this question is that I think Greg gave the objectively correct answer in the Discord.
Oh, okay. Well, let's give him the credit he deserves.
Yeah, like everybody like responded with like, wow, I think that's it. So Greg suggested that Aaron's cape gives more move speed in the direction of the enemy fountain. And less move speed in the direction away from the enemy fountain. And that you deal more damage and take more damage the farther you are away from your teammates.
Very nice. Yeah.
Which is exactly Arian's style.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Which makes him, like, very, very fun. And also, like, if you were to take it seriously, very, very frustrating to play with. But if you're playing with Arian, you're just having fun anyway. But
yeah. Fun guy.
So it's just fun.
Fun guy, that Arian. Okay, RX Calva wants to know, what's the worst 5k plus gold item? I know it depends on the hero and the situation.
That's a good call. I will not go to the learn tab. And the items. What is 5k
gold? 5k
gold.
So then we're talking about like Lincoln Sphere, Bloodstone, Butterfly.
Oh, I got Scotty. I got my answer.
Okay.
I got my answer.
I'm ready.
Radiance.
Radiance.
I hate Radiance.
You hate it. Okay.
I don't think it's any good. I think it's a trap. I think people get it. If you're like Miracle and you can get one at like 6 minutes 30 seconds, like go for it.
Sure.
But like, I don't know. I'm in favor of any build that moves away from Radiance in any way. Yeah. It's probably good, but I hate it. So that's my answer.
Okay. Man, I'm gonna go with the Assault Cuirass. And that is primarily because you cannot really see the effects of it. It's one of those items that you build and then you're like, oh, I'm tankier, but then you're like, am I really?
No, that's a good call. Yeah.
Like, you think you're gonna be, I don't know. I also think the game should do more to identify auras. So
yeah,
I think like Crystal Maiden, there should be an item where like her passive aura like lights up around her or something.
Yeah.
I think that like you should be able to get a cosmetic, or it doesn't have to be cosmetic, but I think that there should be something that signifies like you have a mech and the passive is happening, or you have I don't know, what's it called, the vampire one,
Vlad.
Yeah, like I think that it would be cool if those things, if it was more obvious that you were under the effect of that. And Assault Cuirass could have one too, because it has a passive. Anyway, I digress.
Nah, I think it's a good call. Like, you gotta look for that tiny little thing, and yeah, like, it stinks.
We all need more ways to monetize, so.
Yeah, well, she does have the one thing that when you level your aura, it makes this really cool effect on everyone in the game.
That's true. I didn't know what that was for a long time.
Yeah. But you only get to do it 4 times a game.
Yeah, yeah. So. Okay, Greg wants to know, what is your favorite breakfast cereal? Do you have an answer?
I do. Okay. It's Lucky Charms.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Sorry.
Whoa.
I didn't mean to yuck your yum. That's my bad. That's my bad.
That's all good. It's yucky, but I mean, I cannot deny. I mean, I eat it like once a decade.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you.
But man, I enjoy that one meal.
I'm not a big cereal person. I like, what is it? Honey Nut Oat?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
No. No, no.
Oh.
No, like the, Honey Bunches of Oats.
Oh, okay.
I like those.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like for like realistic breakfast cereals, like anything with like honey and nuts is good.
Yeah. Okay, Greg also wants to know, what is your ideal bagel? For me,
well, I mean, we probably have like pretty quick, strong opinions.
About yeah, this. I mean, it has to be from New York.
Yeah.
For me, it's an egg everything bagel with vegetable cream cheese, not toasted. If you toast it, you're only toasting bagels when they're left over. That's the only reason for me to toast a bagel.
You're one of those. Non-toast purists.
Yeah. I mean, I toast my bagel every day in Pittsburgh because it's trash. But yeah. The other thing that's really good on bagels is lox, of course. So that would be my like second favorite, is like some nice cream cheese and a fresh, beautiful smoked lox. What about you?
I would go poppy.
Poppy. Classic.
Poppy toasted with butter on it.
That's nice.
But I recognize the untoasted with cream cheese.
No, it's fine. They're all great in their own way, you know.
When I lived in New York in Manhattan for a year when I was in law school, and I used to walk uptown to get H&H bagels like right out of the
delicious.
Yeah. And I just bring a bag back to like my apartment.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
We would just eat them all.
It's a great feeling.
So good. Yeah. It's like warm. It's warm still. Ugh.
Okay, Diesel wants to know, if you could rename one item or skill in Dota, what would you name it and why?
The there's probably many answers.
Right, right.
But because I can never remember the names of any of the skills.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But then in searching for the answer, I can't remember any of the names of any of the skills. I think we were talking about it like the other, like something that sounds like it should be something else, but then it's not that.
Hmm.
You know what? I'm going to go back to a previous incarnation. I always thought they should have done this. Remember Slardar? Which I think like you have to say because I haven't seen the hero in like months.
Yeah.
His abilities used to be sprint, bash, amplified damage, and slithering crush. And I always thought they should just rename slithering crush stun.
Yeah, yeah. That's the right answer. I have nothing to improve upon there.
So it's just that's what it does. And then they added, like, you know. I still call Corrosive Haze amp damage, so.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, RX Kelville, you're creating a Dota-themed Jeopardy game, which we should do sometime.
Yeah.
What are the categories, and what is the final Jeopardy question? Okay, so I think one Jeopardy game could be, like, name that skill.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This
ability stuns heroes in a line.
Yeah.
And is an instant cast.
Wind Rangers W.
What is Wind Rangers?
Yes, what is, sorry.
Oh, no, what is Power Shot?
Yeah.
Be the answer, yeah.
We could have something with the lore. That would be pretty hard.
Yeah, there should be a lore one. I think there should be one category that's like pro Dota.
Pro Dota, sure. That's a good one. What else could we do? Items, of course, could be in there.
Yeah, you could do one on items. You could do one on like hero themes.
Oh yeah. Cosmetics should definitely be in there.
Oh yeah, well. Cosmetics.
I think that's a good number of categories.
I think that's six categories. That's all you need, right? Six columns.
Final Jeopardy question.
Maybe it's like, what is? It would just be like, the final Jeopardy question would be like, the best hero. And then you just answer.
Answer Rubik. Say,
yeah, answer Rubik. Or Rundle. Were you aware? Did you see that?
What?
So somebody, like, before the patch notes came out, you know how, like, they run old patch notes through, like, Markov chain generators? Oh, like, yeah. Those AIs? Uh-huh. And one of them was, it was going through all the different heroes, and the last one was, like, Rundle was the name of a hero, Rundle. And it was, like, and it was, like, some, like, gibberish afterwards for, like, what the change to Rundle was. And so I renamed all the categories in my hero list Rundle.
Very nice.
And then I think it was Spenguin, I apologize if it wasn't, on the Discord, said, what about sexy Rubik? Because in the Markov chain generator had spit out sexy Rubik. So I have all my categories are Rundle except for one, which is sexy, and it's just a picture of Rubik.
Very good.
So he's probably, so yeah, Rundle I think is the, who is Rundle?
I think for my final Jeopardy question, it would be, what is the best all chat line, of which... It is Undying's I Hate Life.
That's a good one.
I find myself spamming that one a lot these days.
Nice.
Okay. Salty Persian. If Mr. Fancy Pants was a hero, what would his abilities be? What type of pants could we hope to see on the market?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the follow-up question there, what types of pants, that is like, Mr. Fancy Pants is just a cash cow for Valve. Like, the cosmetic options, you know? Like, you'd have immortal pants. Yeah. You could just sell all kinds of different pants, and they could make so much money selling cosmetics for him. That's awesome.
A lot of pants.
Do you have any ideas for his abilities?
No, that's Dota Prop who plays rugby, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I met Mr. Fancy Pants. He and I went out to dinner in Portland
when
I was out there.
Well, maybe you're better equipped then.
Yeah, well, I do have one ability. He has a passive that gives interest on the amount of gold he has saved up.
Oh, yes. He never buys things. That's his strat. Yeah.
Yes. We played WLDL with him, and, you know, it'd be like 28 minutes into the game. What do I buy with 8,000 gold? Like,
well, could start with boots.
Like, anything. Why do you have 8,000 gold? So he gets interest the more gold that he has.
Yeah.
And that's why he's been keeping these large totals.
I like that. I think he should have some kind of like ability that has to do with pants.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe like some kind of like movement based ability that when you activate it, like his pants get like crazy wild technicolor or something.
Like you dazzle them. Like you put on
you dazzle them with your pants.
With your fancy pants, yeah. Or like put on your dancing pants. Oh no, those are dancing shoes.
Yeah. You can wear dancing, you could have dancing pants.
Yeah.
He did have fancy pants, by the way, when he showed up to pick me up at the hotel.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What would his ultimate be?
I love this guy. He's so wild. He rents out like his parts of his house, like he does Airbnb while he's there.
Oh, so like a room he does like.
Yeah, and he just like hangs out with the people.
That's
like so on brand for him. He's just like this crazy Portland guy.
I think that's like some kind of friendliness attribute that.
Yeah, it really is.
Somehow benefits your teammates immensely.
Yeah. Maybe he, like, buffs creeps around him or something.
Buffs creeps. Maybe he, like, gives all your friendly, you know, heroes, like, a ton of regen or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, like, good to be around him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. All right. Dora, what... a cosmetic item that isn't available for purchase that you wish you could purchase? It has to be the Ursa one for me. The Alpine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good call.
What about you?
I took this in a different direction.
Okay.
I thought it was like, what's a cosmetic item that doesn't exist
that you wish wouldn't exist? Oh, that's fun too. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we were having this discussion earlier this week, and like somehow the discussion turned around to like changing Lich So he's like the opposite of what he is. And so instead of like everything being like mean and sinister, like sinister gaze would be like gaze of like love and affirmation. And he like casts on allies and like they gain like health back and they feel better about themselves and their abilities do more damage. And like he like pumps people up because like his voice lines and stuff too are all like, oh, not my best work. That was ogre. I don't know why I did that. But, you know, like he's all like negative and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like super happy and positive and just like promotes love everywhere. And we can make it a persona and it'd be like totally different. He'd be like pink and red and like flowers and hearts. And
I like that.
Instead of a skull that he throws, it's like a heart.
That's cool.
So Happy Lich as a persona is my cosmetic item.
I was thinking something along similar lines, but for Undying, because I like Undying. And I want to know what Undying was like before he turned into a zombie. So like a fresh and youthful Undying. That's what I want to see.
Not dead yet.
Not dead yet. That's right. Good. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Anything else before we get out of here?
I'm so into this idea of Undying before Undying now. I'll just be thinking about that all week until next week.
Very Thank good. You. That's what I'm here for. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will see
you
next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.